Well, how many is ready for the word?
Yes.
Now, this won't be long. How many is going to give me about 10 minutes? Help me, Lord. How many remember what I ministered on the last time I ministered? How many remember what I ministered on the last time I ministered? How many was here last time I ministered? How many remember what I ministered? Dusty, could somebody set the lectern out there, please? I'm kind of like Pastor Todd. I just want to get out there closer to you. Well, I ministered on... Dusty don't want to, so you go ahead. Hallelujah. Do what? Thank you, my brother. I ministered on, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And Tricia mentioned something about that this morning, about the righteousness of God. We being the... I began to think about that during that song, the victory in... Jesus is our victory. And I've been born again since March 1962. And today I reflected back on what God gave me. His righteousness. It's His righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. So God has given us His righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. It's the gift of God. And when you think about truly, truly and honestly, think about where you were and your life before Jesus came into your life. Honestly, that should put some tears in your eyes. Seriously. Because where were we headed? What was our destiny before Jesus came into our life? What did he interrupt? What detour did he set up for us who was going straight to hell? The things I used to say, thank God I was born again at 17. But the things I used to say in high school and even before that. Hey, Rob, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to hell if I don't hit a rubber stump. How many of you ever said that? Don't ever say that. It just come right out of my mouth. I'm going to hell if I don't hit a rubber stump. And I was headed that way. How many of you never heard that before? I'm an alien. I am of this world. But I used to say dumb stuff like that. We were all going to hell. But God intervened. God had my brother invite me to a meeting. God had me invite Tricia to a meeting. God had somebody invite you to a meeting or personally ministered to you and you got born again. That is a divine interruption. That is a divine detour. How many has ever been driving through a city you're not familiar with and you see detour signs and you don't know where you're going? You're just following that detour sign. Well, God had a plan to detour us. And what is our destination? Heaven is our destination. And y'all have heard this before. When the plane comes in, he says, we're coming in for our final approach. Every time he does that, I said, it ain't my final approach. No, no. I got one final approach. And heaven is my destination. But what we need to realize and what we need to understand is who we are, what we have, and what we can do. Amen.
Amen.
I am what the Bible says. I am what God says I am.
Yeah.
I can have what God says I can have.
Amen.
And I can do what God says I can do. Amen. How do I know that? Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Look in a couple of scriptures here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. This is of the Amplified. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 said, but it is from Him. And when we read the Word, gain everything you can from the Word. Because every word is given by the inspiration of God. We see that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Every word is God-breathing, given by His inspiration. And it's for us that we can live a righteous life. And here it says, but it is from Him that we have our life in Christ. That's, we live from the inside out. Yes. Amen.
Right.
Whom God made Christ our wisdom from God. He revealed it to us. I hope y'all are getting this. Make the reading of the word today, make it very personal. Don't make it congregational, just make it very, very personal. God revealed to us a knowledge of the divine plan of salvation, previously hidden, manifesting itself in our, everybody say it, righteousness. In our righteousness. Thus, making us upright and putting us. Putting us. Why us? Don't let your mind go back to where you came from. Let your mind take you to where you are now. We are the righteousness of God. We were sinners, but now we're saved by grace. So when we read this, let us take this to a very personal level. God has made me the righteousness of God in the Christ. Thus making us upright and putting us in right standing with God, and our consecration, making us pure and holy. Pure and holy. And our redemption, providing our ransom from eternal penalty for sin. Amen. Now I shared that last 2 weeks ago. The next scripture, where is the next scripture? Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. How many remember in school we had to get a refreshing deal, you know, when we knew a test was coming, we prepared for it. But how many of you ever had a pop quiz and you didn't have time to prepare? Then you just love them. But listen to this. And I want you to grasp what God did here in these particular scriptures. As I was reading these, I've got them underlined and I've read them I don't know how many times. But they're underlined. They're read. But let this, as I was reading this, I said, God, what a marvelous thing you did. What a marvelous thing you did for mankind. For if because of one man's trespass, one man's lapse, one man's offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness. Those who receive the free gift of righteousness. I've ministered in churches, and they're so, some people in that particular church were so religious minded that when I said, you are the righteous, they'd be shaking their head. They're sin, they'd be shaking their head. No. I said, you aren't. No. They couldn't believe it. Born again. Love God. But they couldn't believe that they were made the righteousness. No, I'm not. I'm an old sinner saved by grace. No. You were an old sinner. You are saved by grace. So what you're doing, you're putting the word of God of no effect. That's what Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees. He said, the traditions of your forefathers has put the word of God to no effect. But here it says, we receive the free gift of righteousness, putting us into right standing with himself. Justified. Justified, never sinned. That's what justified means. Just if I had never sinned. Righteous means that I can stand in the very presence of God. You have the privilege of standing in the very presence of God with no feeling of guilt. No feeling of rejection. Why? Because you're the child of the one who forgave you. Putting them into right standing with himself. Reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Amen.
Amen.
Well then, as one man's trespass, one man's false step and falling away led to condemnation for all men, so one man's act of righteousness, glory be to God, leads to acquittal. Church, we've been acquitted.
Oh, yes, we have.
We've been acquitted. Leads to acquittal and right standing with God and life for all men. And verse 19 says, "For just as by one man's disobedience, failing to hear, heedlessness, and carelessness, the many were constituted sinners." We were them. Because of the failure of Adam. So by one man's obedience, the many will be constituted righteous. We were sinners, but we will be constituted righteous, made acceptable to God, brought into right standing with him.
Amen.
So you see what God has done here because of one man's failure and one man's obedience. But then the law came in, only to expand and increase the trespass, making it more apparent and exciting opposition. But where sin increased, this is good. But where sin increased and abounded, grace, God's unmerited favor, has surpassed it. God's grace overruled sin, superseded sin, and it increased the more and super abounded. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 21 says, "So that just as sin has reigned in death, so grace, his unmerited, undeserved favor, might reign also through righteousness. Right standing with God, which issues in eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." Hallelujah. That's the recap. We didn't have to earn it. It's unearned. It's God's unmerited. It's undeserved. You can't. And I began to read in Romans chapter 4. I wanted to preach a whole thing this morning, but I already had my notes down. I'll do it next week. But knowing what God did through Jesus for us to make us righteous. Gene, I believe that when we get the revelation of that, and then we say, "I'm taking my seat of authority," we will have a seat of authority. And we'll rule and reign from that seat of authority. Amen? Well, what did God tell Adam when before they ever were brought to the earth? What did God tell Adam? He said, "Rule and reign and take dominion." Amen? Adam had a seat of authority before he ever was brought to earth. He had that seat of authority. God gave him that seat of authority. He said, "Rule and reign, subdue the earth. Take dominion." Amen? So now we, being born again of the Christ, the very blood of Jesus, has washed away our past. We have the right to take that place that seat of authority.
Amen.
Amen. It's a righteousness is a free gift. Don't refuse it. If somebody would walk up to you and hand you $500,000, would you say, oh, no. I don't deserve that. I said, give me that. There was a friend of ours. She's since gone to heaven. Sowed seed. She was a giver. She would sow seed. She'd talk to people. She'd give stuff. She'd make stuff. She'd give stuff. I'm talking about Tempe Holder. Such a seed sower. Well, somebody one day tried to give her a gift. She said, oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I told her, I said, Tempe, what you're saying is you don't deserve what God is trying to give you. And what the Word says, and look what Jesus said. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. The same way you measured it out, it's going to be measured back to you. Accept it.
Amen.
Why? Somebody sees you as good seed. Good ground. Amen. Good ground. Dusty, you good ground. I'm going to give you some money. It's the biggest I got, but that's all it is. So, this good ground. It's good ground. People are good. When you know somebody's life is a life of giving, give in to them. Give in to them. I was in Anaheim, California with Brother Copeland. This was back in probably 81. And I was behind the platform and what have you, waiting on Brother Copeland, and here come this young man up. He had a wad of money. It was $1,000. $1,000. He said, this was the offering had already been taken up, and God began to speak to him. He said, I want to give this into Brother Copeland's ministry. I could have took that $1,000 and stuck in my pocket. I couldn't know. I didn't know. And the thought never even crossed my mind. But the young man saw good ground, and he couldn't wait to sow the seed.
Amen.
Couldn't wait to sow the seed. There was a couple. This was probably a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. I had my she money. How many knows what my she money is? And I had $1,000 stuck away. You didn't know that, did you? I later told Tricia. And there was a couple that I'm on their board, and they come by. They just want to stop by, talk to me, and what have you, and fill me in on some stuff. And before they got here, God said, give them. They needed another automobile. He said, sow that $1,000. I couldn't wait for them to get here. Could not wait for them to get here. They were good ground to sow that seed into. Good ground. So when somebody comes to you and you know you've been sowing, you know you've been giving, receive it. And let it be a blessing. And don't make the word of God of none effect. No, you do deserve it. If you've been giving, if you've been sowing, that's seed time. And it's harvest coming to you.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. And God said he would give you seed to sow and bread for eating. Part of that might be for sowing. Part of that, all of it might be for your keeping. I don't know why I got into that, but I'm glad I did. Somebody please tell me where we was. Let's go to, y'all going to love this. Go to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. I began to read this, and I went over it with the men's group last month, and I got into this and began to develop it some. But Psalms chapter 1, I'm going to read these six verses. Blessed, happy, fortunate, and prosperous, and enviable, is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. And on his law, on the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. And he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Not so the wicked. Those disobedient and living without God are not so. But they are like the chaff, worthless, dead, without substance, which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked, those disobedient and living without God, shall not stand justified in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, those who are upright and right standing with God. For the Lord knows, and is fully acquainted with the way of righteous. With the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly, those living outside God's will, shall perish, end in ruin, and come to naught. Now go back to verse 1. And let's look at blessed is the man who does not seek counsel of the ungodly. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to probably have to finish this next week. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Don't sit in the counsel of the ungodly. So since Christ suffered in the flesh for us, for you, arm yourselves with the same thought and purpose, patiently to suffer rather than fail to please God. Whatever you do, please God. Whatever you do, please God. For whoever has suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Christ, is done with intentional sin. Let me rephrase that. For whoever has suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Christ, is done with intentional sin, has stopped pleasing himself and the world, and pleases God. You can't please the world and please God. You can't be a friend of God and be a friend of the world. Amen? So that he can no longer spend the rest of his natural life living by his human appetites and desires, but he lives for what God wills. For the time that is past already suffices for doing what the Gentiles like to do, living as you have done, in shameless, insolent wantonness, in lustful desires, drunkenness, reveling, drinking, bouts, and abominable, lawless idolatries. We were all there at one time. But thank God for Jesus. Amen. And then he goes on to say, they are astonished and think it very queer or very strange that you do not now run hand in hand with them in the same excesses of dissipation. And they abuse you. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge and pass sentence on the living and the dead. Don't sit in the counsel of the ungodly. There was a couple not long ago, went into a bank, and they went in for some counsel. They needed some financial counsel, and this man was assigned to them. And they went in there and sat down and started talking about retirement, investments, annuities, and all the kind of stuff concerning money. Well, the man started talking and what have you, and there was an exchange of words, and come to find out the man was born again. A bank, a huge bank, big bank. So at the end of their conversation, he said, "Could we have a word of prayer?" That's from a banker. That's the kind of people you want to associate with. They have you in mind, not your money. They have what is best for you, not how much they can get out of you. So if you've got money in funds, know who's handling it. Amen. And there was a, I don't remember where the scripture is, but I know the story. This young man was king. And at a very, very early age, he became king. And the elders around him said, "Well, you need to surround yourself with people older than you for advice, for counsel and what have you." Well, what he did, he surrounded himself with people of his own age with bad thinking and bad choices. Well, his kingdom came down. But had he have surrounded himself with godly counsel, thank God for our board. We have a good board. And thank God for our board. When we have something to come up, we contact our board. How many knows who our board is? Well, I'm going to tell you who it is. It's myself and Tricia. Mike Lee, thank God for Mike Lee. Yes. Brownie Bounds. And Louise Brock. Bob Lemon was. He's now in the advisory position. I talked to him, and that's where he's at right now, in the advisory position, not on the board of directors. But when we have a situation, we call them. We get their counsel. We get their advice. You have no idea the advice we get from Louise Brock and Brownie Bounds. Good counsel. Louise has been around for 160 years. I mean, remember when she used to come and she said, "I'm as old as dirt." She's, "I'm one of those dinosaurs." But we get good counsel. We don't like to think of sitting in the counsel of the ungodly and getting ungodly counsel. Amen. And let's go to Psalms 37. I will begin to wind this down because there ain't no way I can. Glory, glory, glory. I will wind this down. How many believe that? Amen. How many want to believe that? How many know better than to believe that? No. No, I will. Psalms 37, let's look in verse 4. Delight yourself. That word delight means take pleasure in, enjoy. It's like a place of rest. That's what that word delight means. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Well, what does that delight mean? That means I got to spend time with Him. I have to fellowship with Him more than on a Sunday morning. I said more than on a Sunday morning. How many heard that? Amen. We have to fellowship with Him more than on a Sunday morning. Amen. Let me encourage, and I'm going to use this as an advertisement for Wednesday nights. Come to Wednesday night prayer. Come. "Well, I'm so tired. I've been working all day." Come get refreshed. Amen. And now this coming Tuesday night, we have a men's meeting. Last time I think we had, 12 or 13? And there's more men than that that's in here. But I'm encouraging you. Because we share, and God is good to minister to the men. So let me encourage y'all to come. Delight yourself in God. Make God first place in your life. Put the Word of God first place in your life. Meditate the Word day and night. So when you have opportunities to come together, let's come together. And verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your load on Him. Trust. Lean on. Rely on. Be confident also in Him, and it will come to pass. What does Peter say? Cast all your care once and for all on God, all your worry, all your anxieties, everything you have, said, put it on Him because He cares for you. Amen. So when we delight ourselves in God, that means He's taking pleasure in our fellowship. How many want to please God? I know we all do. We all want to please God. And if you'll be a God pleaser rather than a man pleaser, that's where the reward comes from. That's where the benefit is. Amen? Amen. Thank God for the opportunity to please God. Then he goes on to say, He will make your uprightness and right standing with God go forth as the light, and your justice and right as the shining sun of the noon. Day. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Psalms 37, verse 7. It's coming up. I know it is. I knew it was going to get there. Be still. Sometimes we just need to be still. If you ever got into a time of prayer, I've done this often, get into a time of prayer. Last night I come in here and I was praying, and I said, whoa. I said, God, speak to me. God, talk to me. Lord, I want to hear your voice. Not that I'm tired of God hearing mine, but sometimes we need to take a break and just be still. Let the spirit of shut up just come all over you. Just listen. Let God speak to you. God always wants to converse with us. He always wants to minister to us. He always wants to talk to us. Be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for Him. And patiently learn. Patiently lean. Patiently lean yourself upon Him. When your children were growing up, they just come up to you and just lean on you. You ever had that? Thank God they don't do it now. They'd knock me down. Ain't that right, James? but when your child comes up to you and he just leans on you, there has to be an attitude of rest in him to do that. And there has to be an attitude of confidence in him to want to lean on you. I can lean on my father. I can lean on my mother. I can rest against them. Lean yourself upon him. Lean on God. He's not gonna jump out of the way and make you fall. Lean on God. Put all of your bodily being on him. Fret not yourself. Because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings wicked devices to pass. God is always, always good. With that in mind, let's go to Romans chapter 7. I will get through this. Romans chapter 7. I'll close with this scripture and add one more for offering. Romans chapter 7. And let's look in verse 22. He says, "For I endorse and delight in the law of the Lord in my inmost self, with my new nature. With my new nature. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? Those who are engrafted in Christ have become a new creation altogether. That is our new nature. When Jesus came into the earth, he didn't do away with sin. He did away with sin nature. Sin nature involves us. And we have dominion over sin. It will no longer rule over us. Amen? So when we endorse and delight in the law of God, our inmost self, our inner man, it's our new nature.